The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Now, it was one of the most bitter planning battles in Dublin's history. Wood Quay, a priceless Viking settlement built over, despite massive protests, court challenges and 200,000 signatures. The result? Dublin City Council's civic offices, a controversial but now established architectural landmark on the banks of the River Liffey. But just 30 years on, the council wants to walk away at a potential cost, listen to this, of €500 million, raising serious questions about heritage, sustainability and indeed public accountability. I'm joined in studio by architect Roisin Murphy, who's going to explain all of this to us. Roisin, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, this was a bitter battle, and for those of our listeners who are too young to remember it, it was hard fought.
It was very hard fought. It started at the late 70s. They discovered this wall that was built by Murtagh O'Brien. It was a wall that was built in 1100 and 150 Viking dwellings, longhouses. Quite a significant, one of the most significant Viking discoveries in Europe.
Even after it was built in its own time, 100 years later, they described it as a magnificent edifice. It was like a fortress on the banks of the River Liffey.
It was a miracle wall. It was like one of these architectural features that even in its day would have been described as a wonder wall. The very exciting discovery, and then the battle began for the preservation of it so that it could, I think most people in Ireland, there were 200,000 signatures to preserve it as basically a Viking site. We've seen them all over Europe, in particularly the Danes, who obviously are expert at preserving this kind of thing, saying that we can mind this, make this a site.
I've been reading back over some of the accounts, and there was a sort of an anti-Brit settlement, like the Vikings. So, I mean, what are they, only earlier Normans, and who are the Brits, only the Normans' descendants? So we don't like any of this stuff. This was kind of from a Fianna Fáil attitude, I'd say, at the time.
I think it really was. In one way, I don't even think it deserves attention, that part of it, partly because I think it was really the avarice of people wanting to park on a site in Dublin City. At the time, if you can visualise this, there was car parking on O'Connell Street. So one of the main promoting ideas about this was these guys wanted, and the reason they said they needed these civic offices was they needed to be able to drive and park.
So these are the officials themselves.
The officials themselves.
They wanted to drive the cars
and to be able to park,
get free parking.
Even at that stage, everybody knew that this wasn't exactly good urban planning. So a huge amount of the rhetoric about this discussion about whether they were immigrants or Brits or whatever, I think was all really designed so that they could release this site out of its protection, historical significance, so they could build on it. And they generated, they would keep, there was a guy called Rafferty from one museum, there was Pat Wallace, there was loads of names in the game, and it went to the Supreme Court. And they basically overruled it as a national monument, which meant that Dublin Corporation got permission to build on it.
Yeah, now they fought hard to get the designation of a national monument. This is under people like Mary Robinson.
Yes.
And they succeeded. And then
the Supreme Court overruled it.
And the Supreme Court, all of them, it was unanimous.
Yeah.
The Chief Justice, so families of these people, hang your heads in shame.
In shame.
Chief Justice Tom O'Higgins, Brian Walsh, Seamus Henchy, Frank Griffin, Tom Finlay, John Kenny and Weldon Park unanimously said, no, don't preserve this.
Yeah. And then they worse came down the line when they actually got possession of the site. Like, there was people went to sit in. Okay, that's a favourite thing that I actually think we're probably going to be facing in the next decade in Dublin, would be the return to sit-ins. There was a sit-in, a number of families there were all threatened. They were told they would lose their houses unless they left the site. So, it got really, really bitter. But there was 200,000 people. There was marches, 20,000 people marched against this decision.
Now, the extraordinary thing was later on, the Dublin Corporation, who were the architects of all of this in the general sense, they awarded one of the Millennium Medals to F.X. Martin, who led the campaign to preserve Wood Quay, and they gave him a medal for his efforts, even though they had themselves destroyed Wood Quay.
Yeah, well, it flipped. It went from being an unpopular opinion to preserve history to a very popular opinion and during the Millennium period. But they quickly reversed all of this again in the kind of redevelopment of it as well. There's the actual wall itself, this beautiful piece of architecture, which they had said they would preserve. And in a way, you're kind of going, OK, they're going to build it, they're going to preserve it. They actually allowed for it to be removed by the construction company
A construction company called John Paul, who said that they would reconstruct it, but there was no way to reconstruct the wall.
They were
getting it out of the way. But there was extraordinary things like a perfectly preserved Viking sword was found in a rubbish dump where they had actually disposed of the debris.
Well, I think there was this sense, and it's the same sense that you can hear that's coming down the line in an awful lot of arguments about architecture and urbanism in Dublin, whereas conservationists, I think there was some phrase, a melange of architecture, and these in an article by Michael McDowell where he was talking about these green kind of promoting urbanists will be shouting about the new proposed development. So there's that sense that anybody who wants to preserve history, anybody who's impeding the protection of the allowance of these people to build are actually really stopping progress.
Mm. Now, the question of the bunkers that Sam Stevenson designed, when people saw them, they were shocked. Isn't that so? Because there was to be another part built by Sam. Yeah. And when people saw the bunkers on the quays, they said, no, we don't want more of this. Now, it might have actually alleviated the weight of that design had he been allowed to finish it. Instead, he was told you can't enter for the competition for part two, and Scott Talon Walker did the rest.
I think the bunkers were a moment where architecture absolutely expressed perfectly the conflict that had happened on that site. They were like something, they were like pillar boxes where you expected the guns to go out at the top. It was defensive architecture, aggressively expressed against the river, had no relationship to the river. And in fairness, even the people who worked in Stevenson's office would say that was probably his worst job he ever did. Now, he maintained if he'd been allowed to finish it, it would have been brilliant. But at the same extent, then this continuing thing, we'll build it. It's like I'll keep arguing this point and it'll be better, but it never ends. The Scots building, in a way, which was linear up against the river, it never really solved the problem either because the bitterness of
It tried though, didn't it?
It did try. And there's a beautiful set of steps that go down to the river, and if you look at any of the kind of river architecture, it really does coincide with that. It also was got an award for energy conservation as well. There's a beautiful atrium inside it that captures all the energy with heat retention and all that sort of stuff by Tim Cooper in Trinity College.
Now, he did it. I suppose Sam is not having a good retrospective.
No.
His legacy is not great because the ESP offices were taken down in Fitzwilliam Street and replaced by actually a pretty good scheme, I must say.
Yeah, Grafton Architects scheme. But the problem here that we have is the question of the movable feast and Archie Graham and all these buildings that apparently can be taken down, controversy, taken down again, more controversy, as if we have unending supplies of money for the rebuilding of architecture.
Okay. Will you explain to me what is the plan of DCC? I mean, there is a building they're going to go to. Yeah. It's not built yet. The skeleton is there and they're not knocking anything down because what was there is already been knocked, the old Kevin Street school, third level
beautiful college that everybody said, why are you knocking that down?
Yeah, and but they knocked it down.
They did knock it down.
And they sold it off and it, then
failed.
It failed and now it's there and I think it's built up to the first floor.
Yes, exactly.
Lying derelict, effectively
derelict, and they're now saying that they are going to buy this site. They bought it at apparently a song for 90 million and they're going to rebuild it with a mind of moving Dublin City Council offices to there in Dublin 8, far away from the river where most civic buildings are located.
And that the traditional City Hall at the top of Parliament Street is located there, Dublin Castle.
Exactly.
Located there.
So we have a natural locus of government that sits there, but also you find in international models, you know, Paris, they have their City Hall in the river. London City civic buildings are all along the river.
So why are they doing this?
I absolutely think first of all, I'm not sure they can do it. I think their ambition may have outstripped them this time because they're going against every single green building initiative that's been set out by Europe in law for climate action.
In other words, to destroy the bunkers, which are made of mass concrete.
Mass concrete.
Huge amount of retained energy in those in that concrete.
Yes.
What would happen to that concrete?
It just dissipates into the environment where we get even, you know, it's that green. And you also have to account for that energy in your building calculations now, where you have to say how much energy you take out of the world in order to build another building. It makes absolutely no sense. It goes against every principle of modern architecture at the moment. So even though they're saying they're being progressive, they're being completely old-fashioned.
Now listen to the excuse, if this is this is what I believe is the excuse. The ambitions we have for energy conservation and so on in public buildings for 2030, that they can't actually achieve that with Sam's bunker.
Scott Talon Walker have actually retrofitted the Bank of Ireland, one of their other banks recently, for something very small.
The one on Bagot Street.
Yes.
The big Bank of Ireland building that was. its own
14 million it was retrofitted for, but and it like the cost, everybody's disputing the cost.
That's a building owned by Larry Goodman.
Yeah, anyway, that yeah. they're pushing forward Richard Shakespeare's that he's quoting the cost of retrofitting. The other thing about this is it's shrouded in secrecy. Like nobody has seen the documents. ARIP were, you know, commissioned to make this report. And the inside story on this is that people in Dublin City Council, ordinary Joes working in there, including architects, know that this is the wrong decision, know that it is inappropriate. But they're saying that this move is also, and this is the annoying thing, and this is, it's designated again by location, parking, proximity to your own home. But there are huge costs to the city from moving it away from City Hall and the actual location and seat of where governance should be, which is in the heart of Dublin. It is going to absolutely be one of the most significantly terrible things to happen to Dublin if this goes ahead.
What is to happen to the bunkers, though? I mean, if they have to stay, does the council stay there and try to mitigate as best they can?
Sometimes they think they don't deserve to stay there anymore. They should be sent home to work from home for the rest of their lives. It's a disgrace. They have 30 years of disgrace to even bring forward this idea. I think, is Dublin City Council fit for purpose if it actually thinks that this is makes sense?
Is this an idea from the city manager, from Dick Shakespeare?
Yes, apparently.
Because it reminds me of the fellow who becomes captain of the golf club.
Yes.
And he has to do something during his tenure. So. This is the legacy bit that Dick Shakespeare wants. I don't know. He's welcome to come on the programme and explain himself.
Yeah, but I think, to be fair, like it is, you know, if this was an open conversation, it has to be an open conversation. But also Richard Shakespeare doesn't have a mandate. The action of this is like the action of a mayor that you would expect, who is elected by the people. To make a decision like this is completely undemocratic. It cuts right to the incredible arrogance of Dublin City Council to think that they can take all of this carbon and dispense with it just as they want, which goes against all of the European initiatives.
Architect Roisin Murphy, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show, Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.